fully in a later session. I'll probably just say that, and we'll cover it at that time. But what I want to do here first is I want to go through the topics that we're going to be doing here in our parent talk class, so that we can so that you can know what's coming up down the pike here. This week here is going to be an introduction to kind of parenting, if you will. And then we're going to be talking about parenting as your ministry, okay? And we'll develop that as we go here. And I'll be sharing about that so you can hopefully be jotting down some questions. Week two is going to be all about your child and their sinful nature. You ever noticed how your kids just don't have to be taught how to like throw a screaming Mimi fit or something like that? They just kind of pick that, you know, it's hardwired in. So we're going to be dealing specifically with some very, very difficult topics related to that. We're going to be talking about the importance of humility and obedience. Your humility, your child's obedience. Okay? That's going to be in week three. We are going to deal in week four with raising kids in a sin-filled world. And that is going to, frankly, address not only the issue, well, it's going to address a lot of issues, but it's also going to address a little bit of your own background. The fifth week, we're going to be talking about discipline, which is probably the one you want us to talk about every week. But we're going to cover it. And the kind of the subtitle for that one is One Size Does Not Fit All. Okay? And then week six is going to be setting priorities in family life. All right? Now, again, if there's something here, and I know I haven't explained a whole great deal about what we're going to get into on these topics, but if there's something that you feel like might not be covered, please jot that down and give that to me at the end of our time here, so that we can talk about that. I want to begin here this evening talking a little bit about just parenting in general, if I could, just for a moment. We've struggled, you know, we've been pastoring this church now, Sue and I, for, you know, over 23 years, and I got to be honest with you, coming up with a parenting curriculum or a parenting sort of a class is one of the most challenging things we've ever had to do. It's easy to come up with a financial management class. I mean, there's people who do that. They're great resources. And frankly, there are parenting resources that you can tie into. And some of you guys may have seen some in the past. I remember Sue and I went to our very first parenting video series before we even had children. Some of you guys might be old enough to remember that, you know, back in the dark ages, James Dobson, back when his kids were small, came up with a video series based on his tough love kind of book that he had written. And Sue and I saw that back in about 1980 or 1981, and didn't even have kids yet. But I remember that, you know, it was a great series, but every series that we've ever looked at, or every parenting curriculum that we've ever looked through, to some degree, tries to come up with a recipe for parenting kids. And the difficult thing about coming up with a recipe for parenting kids is that not all kids are created equal, from the standpoint that their backgrounds, their personalities, the dynamics of parenting are so diverse. And, you know, Sue and I have raised four kids, and none of them are the same. Not one. I mean, sure, there are similarities between maybe some kids, but they are all unique individuals. And we found that this one-size-fits-all parenting approach just didn't work for us. And we even homeschooled our kids, every single one of them, from kindergarten through graduation. And that creates another level of parenting and addressing your children. And school tends to give you that sense of, well, this is the way we do homeschooling. This is what we taught child one and two, so we're going to do the same. And it didn't work that way. You know, the kids were so unique, so different, that we had to improvise. Parenting is improvisation. And that's one of the things that I really want to convey to you as we go through this series. The last thing that we are trying to do is to convey to you, this is the way you should parent. And this is the only way you should parent, you know? Listen, there is no shortcut to being led by the Holy Spirit. There's no easy, quick solution to the specific, unique, personal issues that you are dealing in with your children, and specifically child, even child to child. You can't do a one-size-fits-all. Sometimes, you know, we parents, we try to be fair with our kids, you know? And we end up really screwing things up because life, frankly, isn't fair. We try to be fair with our children in our parenting. We try to be equal with them in the way we do things, even the way we mete out punishment or the way we give rewards. And some things work for some kids and other things don't. And we're trying, here all along, we're trying to be fair, you know, and we teach our kids this crazy, strange picture of life is fair, or at least it should be. You know, we give little Sally a present for her birthday, but the other kids are going to throw back their heads and howl if they don't get something, so we got to buy something for them. Bad parenting, frankly. You know, you're producing a situation in your child where you're teaching them that life is fair. You might as well start right from the beginning and teach them life is not fair. And it never will be. And when they leave home, they're going to walk away with a reality that says, you know what? Life isn't always fair. And that's, you know, because we're preparing our kids for life. And we have to ask ourselves, but we do the life is fair sort of, or we try to be fair with our kids because we're trying to do something. We're trying to do what we do for one, we're going to do for all of them. And again, that doesn't always work. In fact, sometimes it backfires on us. And we create this situation where our kids feel entitled and we end up with creating problems many times. So just a little bit of an introduction about what we're trying to accomplish here and so forth. On our first topic here about parenting being a ministry, can I just say to you that parenting is perhaps the most important ministry that you will have in your life. God gave you, or in some cases will give you, these incredible children for you to speak into their lives and minister grace and to prepare their hearts to receive the Lord. And it is an incredible ministry. And, you know, as a church, one of the things that we've tried to be very careful and delicate with is drawing people into areas of ministry in the church when they need to be focusing their time and attention at home. Because, you know, if your ministry at home is suffering because you're out doing the ministry in the church or elsewhere in the kingdom of God, something's wrong. Your sense of priorities are a little messed up. You need to understand that it is a priority. It is your first priority as a couple to minister to your children. And you need to understand that it's truly a ministry. And it is no less a ministry than what I have as the senior pastor of this church. Absolutely no less. No less important. No less called by God, you know, to function in that area of ministry. You know, I don't even know where it is anymore, but somewhere I've got a framed ordination certificate that says that I was ordained to the ministry. We really should do that when people have children. We should give them an ordination certificate that they frame and they put on their wall that says, you know, so-and-so, the undersigned name, whatever, has been ordained to the ministry of parenting. And the word ordained just means called. You were called, you know, when you gave birth to that child or children, you were ordained into the ministry. It's your calling. It's your job. And one of the things that we have allowed to happen in our culture here in the United States of America is we've been talked into the belief that there are certain things that we could or maybe even should do as it relates to our children, but there are other things that the expert should take care of. That is the biggest crock of bull that you're ever going to hear maybe in your life. It is your job. It is not something that you pass along to someone else. You do not abdicate your responsibility as a parent. And listen, no one and I mean no one, is better qualified to minister to your child than you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You know, God does bring great and wonderful people alongside us to augment our role. And they might be Sunday school teachers and or any number of other individuals who come along in some respect to help you. It might even be a school teacher. You know, if your kids are in public school, maybe, you know, God has brought these people along to help in the educational process. But even then, you don't abdicate. Even then, the bottom line is it's your responsibility. It's your responsibility for what your child's being taught. If they're being taught things that are unbiblical, it's your responsibility. You know, don't go pick at the school and don't go yell at the principal. It's your responsibility. Yours is the ministry given to that child. Okay? So don't pass the buck on anybody else. It's your responsibility. Your calling, you know? So that's an important thing to remember. So as it relates to this issue of your calling, we want to talk about some things that kind of go along with the ministry of parenting. And, you know, I think that we'd be missing the mark here a little bit if we didn't start off on our very first session saying that parenting begins with your heart, not your child's. It begins with your marriage, the strength of your marriage. It begins with the foundation of your own personal walk with Jesus. Don't expect your children to have a better walk with the Lord than you do. And understand that if there is division in the home, you're in a world of hurt. Jesus said, any kingdom or city, or get this is where you come in, household divided against itself will not stand. Now, that's one of those very sobering passages in the scripture that every parent needs to look long and hard at in the Word of God, because it's a promise. Again, it's not one of those kind of promises you're going to put up on the fridge and claim, but it's a promise nonetheless. It's a kingdom principle. Any kingdom, any nation, any household divided against itself will not stand. So, you know, it's important for you as a parent to say, you know, if we're going to be effective parents, we've got to nurture this relationship between husband and wife in such a way that we don't let anything, and I mean anything, come between us. Because let me tell you something, kids can sniff out division between mom and dad better than a bloodhound. And they will play both ends against the middle. They, you know, if dad's the disciplinarian and mom is the soft touch, or mom is the disciplinarian and dad is the soft touch, your kids will know that. You'll know. And division doesn't necessarily have to be fighting division between husband and wife. It's just we're not in agreement. And dad's the soft touch and mom's the, you know, and so they know who to come ask. And if they get a negative response from one parent, they know that they'll go to the other one. Your kids should never try that more than once. You should be able to communicate to your children after the first attempt that that's just not going to be tolerated in our home, because that is a utilization of division, which is divisive and manipulative, frankly. But the bottom line is, you as a couple need to come together and say, we are one. And if there are some areas that we're not walking in agreement, we're going to get together and get in agreement before we move on. Vitally important. Let me tell you something. Parenting from the strength of unity is one of the most powerful tools that you will have as a couple. Parenting from disunity and division will make you the weakest parent on the face of the planet. And your kids will realize it, and they'll take you to the cleaners. You know, because remember, they have that little sinful nature problem. And they will exploit the things that they can exploit. But boy, I tell you, if there's one thing I appreciate, it's when we're having to face a difficult thing with one of our kids, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate being able to walk into it arm in arm with my wife, knowing we are together. And you know, we always got different responses from our kids when they knew mom and dad are on the same page. I mean, when they knew it, they look at us and they're like, you know, oh, wow, there's no getting in between these guys. There's no wedge that I can drive between these two. And they back down, you know. Whereas if they think that there's a possibility that they can get a foothold, they'll exploit it, you know, as best they can. There are some passages that we read every time we dedicate a baby. I heard just from Selena that we're probably going to be dedicating a baby come Sunday. But there are some passages. If you have your Bible, you can grab it and look it up. Otherwise, you can just write these down. I'm going to read them to you. The first one is in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. And it's talking here about the responsibility of parents to minister the Word of God and the things of God to their children. And it says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Do you know, that's kind of poetic language to say, talk about them all the time. Whatever you're doing, talk to your children about the Lord. It is your ministry. You'd be shocked how many parents come to the Lord later in life when their kids are maybe, oh, either in their double digits or even in their early teens, and never ever tell their kids anything about their walk with the Lord. Never tell them. And they come to me and they'll say, "Pastor Paul, I don't know, I got saved, you know, here 3 years ago when little Johnny was 10 and now he's 13. And you know, he complains every week and he doesn't want to come to church, and you know, he says he hates it and it's boring. And, you know, he says it's fine for me, but he doesn't want, you know, thing, you know, what do I do?" And one of my first questions is, did you ever sit Johnny down and tell him what happened in your life? Did you ever just explain to him why you felt the need of a Savior? You know, Deuteronomy says, talk to your kids about this stuff all the time. When you walk along the road, when you sit down, when you get up, when you do this, when you do that, talk to your children. And then it kind of repeats the same thing over in chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 11. And then down in verse 19, it says, "You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise." It's really kind of a mirror image of the earlier passage. But again, it reminds us that the responsibility is yours to talk to your children about life, about the Lord, about the things that are important to you. And that brings up another issue about the ministry of what we do kind of as parents. So many families really struggle with the issue of doing family devotions. And I'll be honest with you, ours was solved a little bit just because the kids were homeschooled. And I'm not saying that homeschooling is for every family. But, you know, we did, and frankly it was a fairly easy thing just to put into their curriculum, you know. We just considered Bible time just part of their curriculum, and it worked kind of good that way. Now, if your kids, you know, are going to public school or a private school or something like that, it's probably going to be a little bit more of a challenge. I've had dads come to me on several occasions, you know, and they just feel so ill-equipped to do any kind of family devotions. Some of them will say, you know, I'm not a teacher. I'm not even sure I even know that much. And frankly, a lot of dads don't do family devotions because they're afraid of being humiliated by their lack of understanding. Do you know that? And guys being essentially doers and occupational in nature, we don't want to do anything that we can't really do well. We'll basically put aside things we can't do well and focus on the things we can do well, because we are occupational. So you tell a dad, hey, you should really have devotions with your kids. I don't want to. Why? Because I don't think I can do that well. And I don't know, I think there's a misunderstanding about what really is necessary just to do family devotions with your kids. It's like, open up the Bible, read a chapter, pray about it. You know, that's really, you don't have to be the big Bible answer man for your family, necessarily. And it's okay to say to your kids if they ask a question, you know what, I don't know the answer to that question, but I'll find out for you. Boy, we have so many resources today to be able to do that. I mean, to be able to ask questions. But it can be as simple as just reading through a chapter of the Bible. Just you get up in the morning, you do it in the evening, maybe you do it around at dinner time. Boy, we have a hard time coming together as a family. Well, do you eat meals together? You know, have your Bible time, you know, during dinner. I've heard of some families doing that very successfully because that was the only time they kind of came together, you know, all together as a family. It is a challenge, but remember, if you're not speaking to your kids about the Word, if you're not talking to them about what God has done in your life, if you're not going through the Scripture with them from time to time, you're really abdicating that responsibility. You're leaving, you're saying, well, I sure hope those Sunday school teachers do a good job, because I sure not. You know, I don't have the time or something like that. Well, again, that's abdicating. And it's your calling, it's your ministry. And so it's something that, you know, as parents, you need to do. So as when it comes to family devotions, keep it simple. Don't make it complex. And you got to gear family devotions to where your kids are at. You know, when they're really little, it's a picture Bible. And you're kind of just telling them about what the pictures are. You know, look here, look at this picture. Wow. I remember when Tim was a little boy, he was just totally enamored with the fact that David cut off Goliath's head. And every time, he wanted us to read that story like every day. And every time we came to the place about David cutting off Goliath's head, he got this crazy kind of creepy grin on his face. And I remember it used to bother me a little bit, you know. I mean, I think he's turned out kind of okay, but, you know, it was that little boy stuff coming out, you know. It's kind of like, yes, you know. And give me that sword and sort of a thing. But, you know, that's where we were with Tim when he was 3 years old. But then as they get older, you know, and you got to, you don't pick up a King James Bible and read it to your three-year-old. You just don't do that, you know, unless you don't want them to know anything of God's Word or if you don't really care if they get it or not. Find the best translation for your kid at that stage in life. And if it's a picture Bible, use a picture Bible. But whatever it is, just go through the Scripture and that sort of thing. Remember, too, that when it comes to your responsibility to evangelize your child, and yes, I said evangelize your child, remember that it's not just what you say. It is so much of what you do, because, you know, kids are so good, again, at sniffing out hypocrisy. And we're going to go through this a little bit in another session, but boy, let me just tell you something. It's so important, first of all, that you do live a life that your child can look to and recognize as a life that is lived as a believer. But know this, they will see you in the worst light. Your kids will see you making enormous mistakes. And if you don't know how to say to them, I'm sorry, learn. It will be one of the most important things you ever say to your child. If you can't apologize, you've got a problem. You've got a pride problem. One of the most powerful and effective elements of parenting, I can tell you from somebody who has parented up to a 30-year-old, was the times I got together with my kids and said, I am so sorry. I messed up so bad, and I apologize. And looking them in the eye and saying, will you forgive me? Those might just be some of the most important words you say to your child. Let me tell you why. If you never apologize, your child is going to see Christianity as this thing that's just outside of their ability. they're going to say, you know what? I can't do that. I can't live up to that. But if you apologize to your children, they're going to see Christianity as real life stuff. And they're going to say, you know what? I know what a Christian is because my mom or my dad taught me. It's somebody who is walking toward Jesus with all their heart, but they mess up all the time. And when they do, they admit it. That's real life, you guys. That's real life Christianity. Learning to fall down and admit that you fell down and you scraped your knee and to get up and go again. But boy, I tell you, learn to say I'm sorry to your children. Because you'll say it a lot. If you haven't already, you maybe need to go back and make up for lost time. Because it is, again, so incredibly important. But living your life in Christ is just as important as sharing Christ with your child. You do need to share Christ. Make no mistake about it. But living your life in such a way that they see Jesus in you is also incredibly important. But let them also know that you are not Jesus. You're endeavoring to walk with him, but you're not him. And you mess up, and you're human, and you're fallible. And when you do, you will admit it. And you will go to them and say, I love you, and I'm so sorry I hurt you. That will, I'll tell you something, I never once had any of my children refuse to forgive me. And far from removing the respect from their eyes toward me, it heightened it. It made them respect me even more. You know, and it made me approachable as a dad. Because when they messed up, they could come. Because I would come to them when I messed up. So they would know it's okay to go to dad when we've really messed up. Because he knows what messing up is all about. And there's grace, you know. In terms of, we're just about ready to kind of do some Q&A here, but just a couple more quick things. Couple more just things on your ministry of parenting. Anybody here who has a child who's very old probably knows that one of the most, again, another one of the most powerful things you can do as a parent is spend time in prayer for your child. Parenting through prayer is a precious privilege and responsibility that we have as parents to pray for our kids. And believe me, when they start getting up into their teenage years and they start making questionable decisions. You hit your knees like never before, let me tell you. And there comes a point. There comes a point when your kids get older. And I mean, when they start getting up around 16, 17 years old, parenting is primarily done through prayer. Because if you haven't spoken into their life at that point to the degree where they have a sense of your heart and the priorities of your heart and the wisdom that you've been able to convey, if you haven't done it up to that point, you know, you try to treat a, you know, 16, 17 year old like you instruct a 4 year old and you're in for trouble. First of all, they should know this stuff by now. You should have done your job enough that they understand. They're at a place now where they're stepping out on their own. And they need to step out on their own. Please understand, kids need to. They have to learn to step out on their own. And when they do, they're going to make some monumental mistakes, just like you. And it's going to be scary as all get out. And that's when you really start parenting through prayer. But again, you've spent all these years, you know, however many, speaking into their lives, speaking the word of God, praying over them, loving them, encouraging them. And then they get to these places where they're starting to make decisions. And, you know, like I said, if they don't kind of have it by then, it's probably going to come the hard way, the big, bad, hard way. And then you're even more so going to be parenting through prayer, you know. But understand that prayer is a glorious tool that God has given you as a parent for affecting the outcome in the heart of your child. We don't pray nearly enough for our kids. And the reason we don't pray is because we don't really believe in prayer. Bottom line. If we believed that it would be effective, we'd do it. And we have to confess that, you know, before the Lord and repent of that. Last point I want to make is that in ministry, your ministry to your child should also be one of encouraging them in the way they see others. You know, encouraging your child to look upon others with compassion. You know, your kids are just like you. They're self-centered. At the root of their hearts is a complete and total self-centeredness, just like you. You and I have no trouble understanding their self-centeredness because we're the same way. And left to themselves, that self-centeredness will only grow. It's yours and my responsibility with our children to draw a heart of compassion, a heart of caring from them toward others, to think about, to appreciate, to honor other people. Listen, those things don't come naturally. One of the things we have to remember when we're training our kids is that we're training our kids. What I mean by that is, so many times I see parents, and I did it myself, we expect our kids just to have it down, even as little kids, and we get angry at them when they don't do things right. Do you know, we treat employees that we're training to do a job with more dignity and respect than we do our own children who we are training to do a job. But you know, you're given a job in the workplace. Hey, train so and so to do such and such. You know, oh, okay. You know, I got some experience doing that, so I'm okay. Follow me. We're going to do this. First, I'm going to show you how to do it myself, and then I'll watch as you do it, and I'll kind of help you through it. And we're good at that. We know what that's all about. Training people to do things. You know, we're called as parents in our ministry to train our children, and yet what do we do? Our 3-year-old does something wrong, and we blow our top. It's like, what are you doing? We look at this child and say, what in the world are you doing? Why did you do it that way? And we get angry at them, like they were supposed to know. You know? The Bible says, train up a child in the way that they're to go. Don't just expect that they're going to know the way that they're to go. The sinful nature is always going to go the opposite of where they should go. Know that. And your kid has a sinful nature. So just know that. Know ahead of time. They're going to go the opposite of the way you want them to go. So you're in the process of training your child. But that's such an important thing. Oh, when I realized that I was expecting perfection, well, I don't think I ever really expected perfection. But when I realized I was expecting my kids just to know things, you know, I realized my expectations as a parent were just so tweaked. You know, when I finally realized that, I was so ashamed of myself as a parent, and I just completely changed my attitude. And I expected them to be children. You know, we'd sit down at the table, and you know how you say to your kids when you're sitting down at the table, everybody's kind of there, hey, move your glass, don't spill your milk. I started saying, hey kids, be sure and spill your milk. Now, I didn't mean that necessarily, like go ahead and just push your glass down. But what I was kind of conveying to the kids is, you're going to be a kid. You know, they're going to spill their milk, mom and dad. Don't get angry. Kids spill their milk. Kids track mud in. Kids leave the door wide open so flies can get in the house, right? Kids do really dumb things. And so did you. Now, you may have had a parent who hovered over you and made your life miserable for being a child. But you can make up your mind up right now that you're not going to do that. I'm going to let my kid be a kid, and I'm not going to expect that they know all these things. You know? I'm going to train them. I'm going to train them. I think those are some important points. So, hopefully you've developed a few questions along the line here. So I'm going to ask my Q&A panel to come on up and take their seats. And we're going to try to be available to do that, to answer maybe some of those questions. I'm going to turn that on for you. So who wants, now, again, I want to just reiterate that, you know, the people we have up here, we're not know-it-alls by any stretch, and every single one of us will admit to the fact that we've made major blunders in our parenting endeavors. But, you know, hopefully we've gotten at least down the road enough that we can convey something of that experience and stuff that might in some way help. So related to the ministry of raising your child, how about some questions from you guys? Let's start with Hector.
Yeah.
You need an outline. Right. A Google Doc. Yeah. Okay, the question, just for the sake of the video recording, was as parents are thinking through kind of their vision statement of just the focus of their parenting, what are some of the other things that might be part of that vision statement, if that applies? Anybody who wants to?
I would say that making church a priority, that if they see you ministering, not legalistically, but in a way that they see that going to church is important to you as parents, then it will naturally be important to them. And then, but also keeping the serving, a huge balance between over-serving or not serving at all, you know.
And that's another area we're actually going to talk about in one of the other sessions, too. So we'll develop that further.
Well, I wanted to add to what Kathy said a little bit, and that is that, you know, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, a couple verses before Paul started, it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And I think that our kids, they know how important the Lord is in your life. They know by your actions. They know by what you say. They know, are you in church when you should be in church? Are you committed? They I know the Lord is the only person that kind of sees our heart, but our kids know. And it's instrumentally important for them to see us doing those things, praying together with one another as husband and wife, you know, things like that. And if you're uncomfortable with prayer, and I know some of the guys are with praying with your wife, get comfortable with it. Get over it. Because one of the largest strengths that you have is between you and your wife in prayer. And so then I would say there's a few, couple of other things. So love the Lord your God first, which, hey, that follows Scripture. Imagine that. Secondly is make time for your wife so that you can work on that oneness, you and your spouse. And the third thing is that I stumbled on, as I think Paul had said, was as we stumble around as parents, and that is make time for your kids. And whatever that looks like, but make sure you're communicating with your kids.
And kids have no concept of quality time. You know, that's something that's a cultural statement. You know, I'm going to want to spend some quality time with my kids. We're going to do a good 10 minutes here this week. And that's ridiculous. Kids only know time, not quality time. So anybody else want to speak to that?
There's really a great vision statement that Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 2, and he said, my purpose is that they would be encouraged in heart, united in love. And I've always thought that that's really a marvelous verse for parenting and for mothering, because that is an overall kind of a big picture verse of that's what we want to do. We want to encourage their hearts. We want to protect their hearts. We want to open up the Lord to them and that. And we want our homes to be united in love, starting with husband and wife. But we have this little community of people called a family, and it's so important and so precious for this family to be united in love. So I like what Paul said. My purpose is that they would be encouraged in heart, united in love.
Did we cover it? Okay. Anthony, do you have a question? Yeah, that's a very unique situation, and I've had the question come up from other parents in the past when there's been a split in the home, when there's been an issue where the child is even no longer in your custody, and you don't have that daily ability to speak into their lives. Some parents don't have any ability to speak into their children's lives. Some have an occasional ability, maybe once a week, once a month, once every 6 months. You know, that's where parenting through prayer is really your only tool, your main and only tool. Because you don't have that ability, you're praying. And I would even encourage in that sort of a situation to get as many people praying with you, you know, talking to other people. Pray for my daughter. Would you pray for my daughter? Pray for, you know, for her to be protected. She's in a home where Christ isn't being, magnified, taught, or whatever. And, you know, I don't have access to her on a regular basis. So, and, you know, when you send gifts, pray about what you're going to send, reading material, Bibles, music, things that you can, you know, ways that you can get things into her hands that might make a difference. But, you know, but essentially your hands are largely tied right now. It's a very, very difficult circumstance. And it's one of those things where you just got to do what you can with what you have. And it's mostly going to be prayer. Yeah, mostly on your knees. So, anybody else? Maybe on that line, Dwayne? Okay, the question has to do with when the timing of discipline between mother and father may not be the same, and the heart may not be the same as far as what to do, when to do it, how to do it, or that sort of thing. And we'll talk about that. The one comment that I will make is that don't ever make the mistake of thinking that your child is like a dog, that you have to rub his nose in it right away or he'll forget. Kids can wait. They can wait until you get together with your spouse and talk about what needs to be done for that situation. Your child, believe me, they will remember. But some other points on that.
One thing, when Paul was talking earlier about saying you're sorry and asking forgiveness, those situations will arise that maybe one of you does something the other one doesn't agree with, you're apart. And if those situations do happen, I remember when I learned that principle that it was okay to let my kids know that I had messed up. It's, we are sinners, and I think I tried to be the perfect parent, the perfect dad. But it's amazing when you do something, and maybe we're in a disagreement over something, as you mentioned, Dwayne, and when that comes to light, there's going to be a time when you can discuss that and you can realize maybe what the proper thing was. If I, as a dad, had done something and then Ann had pointed out that we maybe should have handled that differently, we'd get back on the same page. We'd pray about things, and then I would go to my child and admit to them that I had made a mistake. It is just terrific how they respond to that. They know more about hypocrisy than we do as adults for some reason. That's something that's born into them. And so when we are trying to act in a way that isn't real, they'll see that quicker than we'll see it in ourselves sometimes. But saying, I'm sorry, I messed up, will you forgive me? That does an amazing thing for your children.
Anybody else?
Last into adulthood. Oh, as long when they're grown up, it stays with them.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Does.
And pretty much what we've been talking about up here so far is that in all things, if you live what you say you believe, whether it's in discipline or whether it's, you know, you're a different person on Sunday morning than you are on Wednesday evening at home. If you really truly live what you say you believe, your kids know it. And therefore, what I'm trying to get at is that some of the good things that we try to do as parents, like devotions that Paul was talking about, those are all great. But if you don't live what you say, you know, what you're trying to do your devotion on, you might as well not do it. And so that goes true with the discipline aspect, too, is carry that out into everything that you do as a parent.
I actually have a little bit different take, Dwayne. What I heard you saying was that what if you run into a situation and you and Pam aren't in agreement on how to handle that discipline, that situation? I have a suggestion, and it's something that Kathy and I implemented, maybe for the last 10 years of our 26 years, where we walk in the evening just about. Well, we did more of it when I was working, but we walked in the evening, and the kids knew that when we went walking in the evening, boy, we were going to talk, and we were going to have those conversations. And the first thing I'd say is that having that time with your spouse so that you can talk through the situations that you don't agree on. And being away from the kids, if you can. I know when they're small, it's hard. But just getting with your spouse, making sure you're on the same page. What happened during the day? What are some of the things we need to talk about from the day? Or if you're in the heat of battle or in the heat of the moment, you can possibly do something like, you know what, let me talk with your mom about that. And let's make sure. And the kids, then that way they're going to know by the time you come out of the next room, you're on the same page. But the bottom line is, get in agreement. Yeah. The kids are going to know.
And if you're in a situation where one person isn't home, like I said, you know, just don't do anything at that. Frankly, the only reason that we feel the need necessarily to do discipline immediately is because we're angry. Mm-hmm. And we kind of want to capitalize on our anger, which is never a good time to discipline anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll talk about that as we go, but you should never discipline your child in anger when your own temper is red hot. So, you know, it might even be a good thing just to say, hey, when dad gets home or when mom gets home, we're going to talk about exactly what we're going to do about this situation. Meanwhile, here's what we're going to do. But just wait. Just wait to give discipline. Wait until you guys are together. Because, you know, the last thing you want to do is do something that your spouse doesn't agree with. And then they come home and they hear it from the kid. And the kid sees that look on the parent's face like, oh, that was excessive. Or I'm not in agreement with that. And they got you there. You know, so that's just not a great situation. So, yeah.
One thing I'd like to add just for a moment, too, you know, this plan that God has set up for families, parents, raising children, where a man and a wife come together, we got two sinners to start with, and then is born into that relationship another little sinner.
Yeah.
And yet that is God's plan, and he being infinitely wise has set it up that way. So I think the best thing that we can ever do is stay in his word, stick to his plan, know that it's your responsibility and your ministry, and pray about it because we're totally inadequate.
Yeah.
If there'd have been a different way to do it, I'm sure I'd have picked some other way. But that's the plan he's given us, so
yeah,
we're stuck.
Let's get a question from somebody who hasn't asked anything yet. Lisa. So, creative ideas for getting God's word into their hearts. Yeah, something related to family devotions or anything.
Just because of my unique situation, it was always like intertwined. Church and home was so, you know, when we came here, I did children's ministry, and so what we were doing at home was the same thing that we were doing at church. It's a warm memory for me. I think it's great. I would probably encourage moms and dads really to be involved in the church and be able to, like for Awana, for example, physically being involved in Awana so that you can elaborate on it at home and, you know, at church, and it builds, you know, strength that way. That's just my own personal experience. I never really had the opportunity to do something apart from church, and because we had homeschool, you know, as the kids got older, there was often really rich resources. And, you know, with Aaron, I assigned a lot of reading and processing, and he'd have to write essays on books, you know, like I'm talking high school and that sort of thing. And I found we liked that kind of thing. So that's just my experience.
Let me just say one other thing before some of you guys mention something else. If you're, depending on what age your child is, Beth, as our children's ministry director, is one of the things she's most excited about is getting parents connected at home with the lesson that they're doing on Sunday and Wednesday. She loves that. She's constantly trying to think up ways to get resources into your hands so that you can springboard off what they're already, you know, getting in class. And you know, it's a great way, since they're getting it there, then you can spend the rest of the week talking. You can do your own scripture memorization. You can do some your own Bible stories. You can do your own discussion based on what they're already learning or what they're already getting. And that goes up through junior high and even senior high refuge. Know what your kids are, what studies they're going through. You know, Ken usually tries to get through a chapter if possible, and know what your kids are learning so that you can talk to them about it. That's another option right there. So anybody else want to add?
Music, music, music. We spent a lot of time in the car, and when the kids were little, I mean, we had CDs going all the time, and they taught scripture.
Yeah.
This, you know, music, it's catchy, and they pick it up. And, you know, and plus, yeah, like they're saying, is get involved in what they're doing and be part of it. You might discover that you have gifts that you've not even been aware of. If you've never been in a classroom, volunteer to be a helper. And see what it's like, because sometimes the Lord just opens up a door for you that you can really get involved in what your kids are learning. But music is something that endures for years and years and years. And then you can pass it on to the next generation,
yeah,
which is really fun.
Your kids can be
it?
In their 20s and 30s and remember, O-B-E-Y, yeah. Obey your mom and dad. I mean, yeah. All those, right? All those,
yeah,
songs, we taught them Salty Singing Songbook. Absolutely. And all those, when they were little kids, we, yeah, played these cassettes and these things. They don't even have cassettes anymore. Get them on DVD, yeah, or whatever.
Yeah.
And they still sing them. And, you know, what's really cool is when your kids start having kids and they start doing the same thing, yeah, with their children.
Yeah, it's,
yeah,
true.
So.
Three quick thoughts is, along the CD line, is there some great ones out there? Like, my kids used to listen to this one by Frank Peretti, and they were Bible stories, and they had all these facts down that I was like, where did you learn that? Oh, Frank Peretti. As they were going to sleep, they'd listen to these CDs of Bible stories. So that's a good one for little ones. Another one is the little Bible scripture boxes that have all the little Bible scriptures in them. Even just reading one of those with your kids every morning and talking about them. And then the other thought I had was, we at one point had a box. It looked like a little treasure box. And we would write down prayer requests, things we were praying about, and put in this little box. And it's always fun to be able to go back later and look through them. And, of course, they didn't all get answered, but that's a lesson in itself. And just little practical things. And one other thing I was thinking is that we have three sons, and I'm not going to name him, but one was a real worrier. And so bringing him to the Lord, you know, let's give that to Jesus. Let's pray about that on a real practical way, because we can read over and, you know, we could sit down and read. But if it's not a practical, it hit me one day that I'm kind of a worrier, and I'm just learning how to do this, to give it to the Lord. But I have to tell him, you know, let's take this to the Lord and pray about it. So anyway, just little things that, where it's all the time, little things, I think is really helpful.
Well, and just on the tail end of what Kathy's talking about, really what I equate that to is just taking, applying scripture to practical application of your life. I mean, something happens in the child's life, or like Kathy was saying, they're worrying. What does scripture say about that? Bring in scripture into the conversation. And so apply that to life every day,
yeah,
so that they see it. You model it. They get it. And they see how important it is to you. And that's kind of, yeah, similar to what Kathy was saying.
Don't worry about anything.
There you go.
Remember, we all sang that song with our kids when they were little. But pray about everything. You guys remember that one? Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him.
Never heard it. I'm sorry.
We sang it.
The tune didn't quite go like that. But.
Somebody else? Sure we do. That's because parenting, maybe even more than what it does for our children, parenting is such an incredible exposure of the people that we are. Do you know what I mean? I mean, when my kid is bugging me, a lot of times it's my problem. If my kid is irritating me, it's my problem. Maybe I've become peevish and just, you know, impatient. And it's incredible how parenting is going to do that. It's going to reveal all the little bumps and wrinkles and things that in your own heart that you need to take to the Lord. And frankly, that I think, and I'll let these guys speak to that as well, but I think that's one of the biggest keys to finding that balance is coming before the Lord and saying, you know, God, this really bugs me when my child does this or that. And you know what? If I let this thing bother me too much, my kid is going to grow up thinking that they're really just an irritation. And I want to let them be a child, and I want to let them learn and grow, and I want to let them make mistakes, and I want to be careful not to hover and stuff. But frankly, I've got issues in my life that make me just hypersensitive to certain things. It could be noise. It could be cleanliness. Whatever, you know. And we as parents, we can probably all attest to those things. They're just things that bothered us, you know, that we were, as our kids were growing up, and it became an issue, frankly, more between our relationship with the Lord. And that's one of the reasons I brought up at the beginning that parenting starts with the foundation of your relationship between you and your wife and your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that will constantly come to the forefront of how and why we do parenting and how we discipline our children and the things we say to them and how we respond to them when they make mistakes and so forth. So much of that is just because of my expectations or my impatience or my own personal limitations about those things. So the question, I guess I kind of forgot to repeat it there, was really kind of like, how do you find that balance between, you know, not hovering, letting your child be a child, not being bothered maybe by some of the things that go on and letting them enjoy their childhood and all that kind of good stuff?
To me, the word hovering makes me think of fear. And I don't know if that's what you're referring to, but sometimes as parents, we try to guard against every little thing because as Paul said, it's something that's askew in our own life. And until we take that to the Lord and completely give it to him and recognize that the little ones that he's brought into our lives are a gift and they're unique. And you will have moments of fear as a parent. I don't care who you are. You'll have, if you haven't been afraid yet, you will, because we don't have any experience. And as they grow, you still don't have any experience. And they are different. Even if you have a dozen, they're going to be different individuals. And so you have to recognize that if you find that you're hovering or afraid or angry all the time, that's something that you have to, you yourself have to confess it before the Lord and let him change you. Because that's essentially what needs to happen.
Isn't it great how parenting does that, though? Exposes who we are?
Yeah.
I think sometimes, too, we need to remember back when we were children and some of the things that happened in our life. I know times have changed immensely since I was a kid. I think our parents sent us outside to eat dirt because they figured it made us stronger and we'd catch
less
stuff.
We don't still do that?
So
I think
that was the common way back then, but I guess we were able to do a lot of things. We were out on our own. We did a lot of things our parents never knew about. And yours is a little young right now, but that 2.5-year-old is going to want to get out and start exploring. And I think the thing to keep in mind is safety first. You know, if they're not gonna maim themselves, then you got to sometimes let them get out and explore a little more, and remember that's their way of learning what their world is all about too.
Yeah, good answer. So the question is, how do you parent when you didn't really have a good example in your own life, and when you didn't, you know, maybe you're trying to be a father, you didn't have a father, you're trying to be a mother, you didn't really have a mother, And that may be shared by some of the other people as well. So what's how do you go about that?
Well, Kathy and I had two different examples. She had the bad model. Oh, no, that's not true. I had the, not a bad model, but my father was learning just like every father. And Kathy had more of that, you know, what do you call it, complete family.
Stable kind of traditional
stable.
Home.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Tony, it's interesting. What I would say to you is that God is able. And there's countless times that through God's mercy or his graciousness that we have kind of stepped around a situation. And I look back and I think, how in the world did we do that? And he didn't, you know, I say his mercy because we didn't learn the hard way. But we realized, boy, that was the hand of God. You know, God comes in and he fills in what you need, Anthony. I mean, as parents, none of us are equipped to do what we're doing in of ourselves. And that's why you keep hearing the theme over and over again about praying, about, man, the Lord's got to do this because I don't have a clue. There's many times that Kathy and I, especially with one of our strong-willed children, which I also won't name, where we got on our knees and we prayed. We said, Lord, we don't know what to do. We absolutely don't know what to do. So I'm not reaching back to fatherly experience. She's not reaching back to motherly experience. You know, the Lord fills in. And if you look to him, he will give you what you need to be a father. Some of it we learn through experience, you know, but some of it, boy, it's happening as we're going along.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of us who've had traditional families. But it wasn't that great of an example anyway. You know what I mean? I mean, there's this belief that if you didn't have a father, you don't know how to be a father. What's up with that? That's really not true. You know, I've met some people who didn't have a good parent, and so they basically decided they were going to do the opposite of what their parent did. You know, my dad was never there for me. I'm going to be there for my kid. My dad never talked to me. I'm going to talk to my child. My dad never gave me a hug. I'm going to hug my child. My dad never, ever said, I'm sorry. I'm going to say, I'm sorry, a lot. You know, my dad always criticized. I'm going to be careful about criticizing my child. My dad never affirmed me and said, good job. I'm going to say to my kid, good job. You know, you can simply parent from the void of what you didn't get. You can think, okay, what were the things that I didn't get when I was a child? I'm going to give those things to my kid. A lot of us who had two parents for the entirety of our childhood had to unlearn some of the things we learned. You know, so just because we had parents doesn't mean that we learned always good things. Sometimes our parents also made some really boneheaded decisions. And we've had to come into life then and kind of go, you know what, I'm not doing that. And I'm going to do things a lot differently in my home. But I had a dad or I had a mom the whole way through. But, you know, we're still adjusting our parenting to this child at this time. And that's where the Lord comes in.
And I think it's really awesome to actually draw the line in your mind, whatever level of dysfunction was represented in our homes and in our relationships, to say, but with the Lord, all things are new. I am a new creature in Christ. And so behold, all things have become new. And so with my generation, God is going to give me what I need to stop the perpetuation of dysfunction in the family and in the generations and going forward, because I'm committed to this ministry, he's going to give me what I need to make it different. And some people like a challenge and to just go before the Lord and say, that's the challenge I'm giving you, you and me. We are stopping the dysfunction right here with this generation, and you tell me what to do and I'll obey. And it's going to be different.
We've had people in our church who grew up in homes where mom and dad chased each other around the house with a knife, and the police were called every other day, and those people grew up and did a wonderful job parenting, you know, because they just made a determination they were going to live for Christ and minister his heart to their kids. So, anybody else? Or are we getting right down to the end here? If you wrote down some other kind of topical ideas, I want to remind you to get those to me as we kind of close up here tonight so that we can make sure that we talk about those things. We'll do our best to fit them into kind of the topics we're dealing with. Are there any other questions tonight that are just off topic from what we kind of dealt with tonight, but maybe something that's maybe a little more on the front burner of your life that just needs to be addressed, or are we good? Let's let somebody else, you know, cover maybe some of these. Anybody else? I know we want to be careful not to give in to the tyranny of the urgent all the time, but I just didn't know if maybe there was something. Are there any other comments that you guys want to make about anything?
I want to say one thing. You know, life up until we're 20 or so goes pretty slow, and then all of a sudden, and I'm sure you've heard this, it goes fast, and, you know, enjoy it while you can. I just want you to stop and think a little bit. This night has been about this is your ministry. And stop and think about when your kids are of the age to be married, they're leaving home, or you'll be in that grandparenting stage of life. How do you want to be thought of? Dads, how do you want your children to think of you as the one that brought them up, the one that was charged with the ministry of raising them? So I just want to leave you with that tonight.
Well, that's good. I never would have known how cool it was to raise kids who would become your friends. Never had any idea that that was like that, that you can raise a child from the cradle and they get to a point where they turn into your best friend. And you want to spend time with them and talk with them and share stuff with them. And that is the coolest thing in the world, to be your kid's best friend and they you. It's just, that's one of the incredible privileges of parenting, I think.
Well, and the other thing is, when you were talking about the goal and that, I think that for me, I didn't come from a godly heritage. And between Dan and I and our grandparents, we had one set of grandparents that knew the Lord. But we weren't raised in Christian homes or anything. And the thing of it is that now they're not only our friends and people that we like to be with, our adult children, that is, but now we get to see them pass the torch. And that really should be your goal, regardless of what your heritage is in the Lord, is that the Lord wants to equip you to pass the baton. Because it's not enough to just raise your own children. You need to look, get the bigger picture, and realize that you want your children to be able to pass that Christian heritage on to your grandchildren. That's really the ultimate goal, is to, you know, to run the race.
Amen.
Well, and I would also just tell you guys, you know, most of the time you're not going to break your kids. And I would say value the time with your children and take the time. And don't, once these moments are gone, they're gone. They're different. I can just tell you that when my oldest got married, our relationship changed. And I was no longer my son's confidant, but his wife was, which it should be. But I felt like I lost something at that point, you know. I don't know how to describe that to you, but... So I would say value the time you have. Every stage of life, it's going to be here, it's going to be gone in a flash, and you're going to go, where did that time go? And it's awesome. And now I look back, and I wish that I would have spent a little more time with the kids, worried less, maybe prayed more,
right?
That kind of thing.
And didn't get so upset maybe with the little things.
Yeah, and didn't get so wrapped up in stuff. So that's what I'd say is have fun. And it's a great experience, and you know,
God knew what he was doing. Believe me. So.
And I think that when you're in the midst of everything, the laundry's piling up, I got to cook dinner, life is busy, it's easy to lose sight of what is my main goal. I once heard somebody say that no one on their deathbed says, I wish I would have kept my house cleaner. But a lot of people said, I wish I would have spent more time with my children. And there is no greater joy than seeing your children come to know the Lord. That is our main goal above all else, above big fancy houses or nice cars. That's all nothing compared to seeing our children love the Lord.
Amen.
And so we got my whole point that I got off on was continually bringing our eyes back, you know, because it's really easy in life to continually be getting our eyes on the wrong things. And our goal is to raise children who love the Lord above all else.
Good stuff. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up.